I'd want to tell a creative out there or anybody else listening, that idea that you have, just start now. Don't wait. There will never be a day that everything will be just right. So stop waiting. Don't be afraid. Just start, because the lessons that you will learn after a year of doing what you're doing, you will never have learned them if you don't start. So don't be scared. Just start.
Hi, you're listening to the Creative World podcast, and the aim of this podcast is to help people get to their full creative potential. So I'm always on the lookout for different creatives in different industries, because the creative economy is growing. And today's guest, I'm just so glad that I was able to know about her. She's called Linda Mudhamia. She'll be talking to us a lot about what she does, because she's in the fashion industry. She'll be giving us insights of what the fashion industry is all about and what exactly she does. Welcome, Linda, to the podcast.
Yay! Thank you so much.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Yeah, I'm so happy you're able to be here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I just did a brief intro of who you are, Linda Mudhamia. I want you to tell us, if someone was to ask you who's Linda, what would you say?
I'd say Linda is a fashion entrepreneur, a fashion lover. And what I do is I teach fashion also. So I'm a fashion coach, and I also run a fashion brand called Kamami Bliss. And recently, I've partnered with a few friends of mine to start a college called Zipporah Institute of Fashion Arts. So if you're interested in fashion, come through. We are located on Ngong Road at Greenhouse. Yeah, that's who I am.
Okay, so you said you're a fashion coach. You have a fashion brand called Kamami Bliss. We're going to talk a lot about that as well. And then you're also in the lookout for starting out a fashion school called Zipporah Institute of Fashion and Design. Congratulations. Oh, that looks interesting. So I'm just trying to, I'm just trying to get a gauge. What inspired you to get into the fashion industry? How far back did your desire for fashion date?
My desire for fashion was always there. I was that child who prefers to take clothes apart, and I would make clothes for my dolls. First, I would even make the dolls, because you know, these days they are Barbie dolls. You can get them new ones, secondhand ones. They're all there very affordably. But those days, they just weren't there. So I would create them using cloth and stitch my mom's used braids on them so that it's hair, and then I'd make clothes for them. So it started way back when, and my mom realized, and I would take her old clothes, remodel them and make them my own. She stopped making noise about it. And so it was always there. I was always a creative person. I've always loved using my hands.
I also remember, like, also when you were younger, because we used to love dolls, by the way, also trying to make clothes. Okay, I don't think for me I was really trying to make clothes for them. So that's when you discovered you have this passion in fashion, which is a good way. So, like, now in terms of parenting, what did your parents do? Did they take you to a school? Like, how have you been able to grow from just a desire, now something that you're doing right now as a profession? Did you go to school for that? Maybe when you're younger? No, as to the journey of your education, how did you go about that?
Okay. So school was normal all the way. Somehow, you know, back then there weren't so many like fashion designers, role models to follow like you can see now. So it was kind of taken like a hobby. So I went to school, and then I actually enrolled to do clinical lab sciences. Which I did. which I did for a whole year. And then it was hard for me. I was struggling. And then I had a conversation with my mother one day. I was just expressing how, well, this thing is not my cup of tea. There was all these chemistry classes and mathematics classes, and I just wasn't having fun. And so I was having, you know, just a random conversation, and she didn't realize that's what I was going through until we had that conversation. She's like, "What? I didn't know you've been going through that." And so she's like, okay, so if it's that hard, why don't you look for something else that works? So that's what I did. I changed majors after a whole year. So I actually spent a little bit more time than I should have in college because I spent that year doing that. Yeah, and that's how I now enrolled into the department and started doing fashion.
In terms of now as an entrepreneur, so now your journey, at least now you learned something in school. So business. So at what point did you begin your business, like getting money out of your passion?
Okay, so still it took a while. I'm glad I went through what I went through so that now I can teach people and impact the younger generation, because after college it still wasn't clear what where will I get a job. And the way the education system has been is maliza shule utafute kazi, entrepreneurship has not been it's now it's a thing to finish school and be an entrepreneur, but back then it was. So I did that, and then we couldn't figure out, okay, so what kind of job does this person do? So we looked for jobs in banks. You know how you have that uncle somewhere,
Months.
unapeleka
Admin
CV. I looked
jobs.
for, yeah, those kinds of, the jobs that just need you to have a degree and you're fine. It doesn't matter if you did agriculture or anthropology, whatever it is, as long as you're of age and you have a degree. So at my very first job was a personal assistant to somebody who was working, who was an owner of an NGO. Yeah. So I did that for a bit. I did a few other things, and then finally we in kwa harakati of looking for work, looking for employment, I started applying to colleges to teach. Yeah, and that's how I found my space in teaching. And now that's when I can say I started making money in fashion. But before that, by the way, I used to make jewelry. I used to make necklaces using beadwork. Just it started as a hobby. Then I was like, okay, I can do things with these things. So I made quite a bit of money out of that. I'd go to my cousin's offices with then she would and my sister's office, then their office mates would buy my things. Yeah, so that was way before I started teaching. Yeah, and then so but it took a while for me to launch my brand. Yeah, so after working as a teacher for a while, you see, my mind hadn't opened up to think that I can actually do these myself. Yeah, I'm teaching things. I'm very good at grasping concepts and explaining them. So teaching is good, and I think also it just comes from my mother and father were teachers, so it's just a thing that was always in me, right? So after some time, I started thinking, these things that we are reading, I'm reading all these American books, all these books from the Western market, but some things we read there, they just don't apply here. We don't have. We do, but the things they do, they affect us. But then again, we have our own very unique ecosystem here in Africa and also in Kenya. So in 2015 is when I was like, let's just start. So I launched a fashion brand. Yeah.
I'm just really trying to understand over here, and I'm not even trying at it to demean the fashion industry, because from where I'm standing, when I think of fashion, I just think of tailors, like tailors, mtu wa kushona. And
Yeah.
even from like nowadays, there are even degrees in fashion design. So would you just help me create a distinction? Now, since you're a teacher, you can even give us a better explanation. Is there a difference between a tailor and a fashion designer? I don't know who is who. Like, who these people you see, how do you know who is a fashion designer? Is there a difference? And a tailor.
Yes, there is a difference. And for okay, so for a tailor is the person who knows how to execute a garment, right? So a designer will come up with an idea, look at this person and see their body shape. Some people have a longer torso than the lower body the lower half, you know, all these aspects, eh? So whatever will suit your body is not going to suit the next person. So a fashion designer will look at you and say, this can work for you, this shape is good for you, and I think we can do with something with the collar, all that. So the fashion designer creates the concept, and then the tailor executes it. They stitch, they cut, stitch. Now, in most cases, the fashion designer can do both. They can stitch, they can, you know, because sometimes you also need to create something that you know is achievable. And a fashion designer also understands fabrics. They understand if you want to do something with a sleeve, you need this kind of fabric. You need to put this there. Yeah. And then you give it to a tailor who is good at stitching. Because in most cases, like personally, yes, I can stitch. However, it takes so much time for me. So I prefer to get the ideas and give somebody who has been stitching for a very long time, so they do it very fast and very smoothly, instead of me taking 3 days to do something that would have been done in a day or even a few hours. And on top of that, many tailors, you know, because they are just creative, they can also design. So there's a reason why there's that confusion, because the tailor, having been in that thing, you know, doing it, they start to get their own ideas, and you know, they are also designers. It's just that I think, yes, there's a difference, but at the end of the day, if you're creating something and you're creative and you come up with solutions, whether you went to school or not, I still think you're a fashion designer. However, it's still good to go to school to get to, you know, to expand your mind, to understand things about fashion business. You know, there's all these aspects about running a business, which is a very different conversation from doing the actual fashion design itself.
Thank you so much for clarifying that. At least I'm almost getting an idea. And you've even talked about the fashion business now. And you just mentioned that you started your business called Kamami Bliss. So, first of all, the first question is you're going to tell us which year was this roughly so that you can get a gauge of the season. And then now we can start talking about the fashion business. Like, what exactly are some of the, what does a fashion business really entail? And what are some of the challenges likely to be faced by people in this business? Because nowadays I see a lot of fashion designers and maybe tailors around. So tell us which year was this when you started Kamami Bliss?
I started Kamami Bliss in 2015. Yes, that's when, you know, registration, ideas, and then I actually created, I think my very first outfits were done that December, and I sold a few things to a few people, and then, like, moving forward now, I started creating. I've been creating ever since. I did take up a break during COVID. And now I'm working on a new collection, which I'm very excited about.
Congratulations. So now this business of fashion, like, how has the journey been like for you? Why did you take that break during COVID? How's the journey been like for you? Has it been a smooth sailing? What are some of the challenges or wins you've had?
So, the fashion business, the business of fashion, it is where it is like. It's up and down, but I think it's a very interesting journey for me so far. I have been in different phases of it. I've sold online, I have sold in a physical shop. And I, you know, there are advantages and disadvantages to all these things, you know. So, I chose to do ready-made clothing, not custom. Because it works better for me. So as a brand, I outsource all my production. And it's very hard to do that if you're doing custom made. Yeah. So I normally create pieces and then put them out and then people buy them. And I so during COVID, as I used to sell a lot in pop-up markets, and I also used to share a space with other designers at the Westgate Mall. So at that time, things started shutting down, the shop closed, there were no pop-up events anywhere. You know, people are just not purchasing anything. So that's why I closed shop for a bit. I was like, since this is not working, I sold masks when masks were hot, before the cheap ones came. And then yeah, and then now in that COVID season, I went back to my teaching. So now I actually created a couple of courses online. I do have a course about fashion 101. So if anybody wants to learn about the basics of fashion, basically what the fashion industry is all about and how it runs internationally and locally, please log on to that course. It's free. Yes, I'll share with you a link, then you can share with your listeners.
Yeah, that's a good one. So, because of course, COVID usually does have its did have its own challenges for different kinds of businesses, and also the fact that you had this teaching skill, so you'd always had a place to go back to. So, I'm looking at fashion as an industry now, and I'm seeing nowadays. Of course, there's an element of competition because there are a lot of people coming up. So maybe then before we talk about competition and like the challenges in terms of fashion, why did you name your company Kamami? Please, what's the inspiration behind that?
Kamami Bliss. That name Kamami was my mother's name. She passed away in 2015. And before she did, she was ill for a bit, and we got to spend quite a bit of time together, and we had long conversations. And in that season there, I did a there's a personal development course I did called the Landmark Forum, and it just really brought me into a very clear space of what I wanted for my life. And so I became very clear that I wanted to start a fashion brand, and I was not afraid to anymore. And so since, my mom was special to me, and I could see she was passing away. It was a sickness and it wasn't gonna get healed. So I called it after her. And I'm glad I got to tell her that before she passed away. So Kamami, and then Bliss, joy, just the joy she brought me as a person. So that's the origin of that name.
That's okay. I'm so sorry for the loss of your mom, and also the fact that the loss also inspired you to start this business. That means it has a rooting, and you're definitely giving joy to people as you design your garments. That's a really good thing as an entrepreneur. Like, is this something you'd want to? Is this a brand? Because the brand has been there for now it's 7 years, which is a really long time to persist for the business. So now let's talk about fashion. You've talked about the difference between a fashion designer and a tailor. Designer goes into the whole element of you go think about ideas and just design. Now I'm looking at what are some of the challenges facing the fashion industry because I'm like, I don't know if it happens in your industry, but there's a lot of copycat people just copying. What are some of these challenges in the industry, and how have you been able to navigate that? What advice would you have for someone around that?
Okay, so yes, there are several challenges in the industry. The first that you have mentioned is that yes, there's so many people who go on Pinterest, who go on Instagram, and just look at whatever somebody else is doing, and then they just alter a small thing. And the thing about that is that we cannot control what people are doing out there. The only thing to do as a fashion designer is just keep innovating, keep creating, because the people that follow you, the people that buy from you, they like your style, they like your aesthetic. There is no way somebody will copy exactly what you're doing. Okay, yes, it happens, but because you can't control, I cannot control who goes onto my Instagram page. In fact, I remember the first in 2016, after I did my first small photo shoot using my phone, I posted those pictures, and then after a few months, I actually saw somebody had opened another page on Facebook using my images. They didn't even try to use their own images, or they just used my images. So I was just like, "What is this?" It's also a form of flattery, I think, yeah. Simply because it means Simply because it means your work is good out there. Somebody is seeing, wow, I can actually do that. So we cannot copyright, you cannot copyright a dress and say, I have invented this dress. It's very hard because how do we prove? You didn't come up with the shape of the dress. A dress has always been there, you know? So the only thing as a fashion designer, you just keep innovating despite people copying. And at the end of the day, we create, you create a dress, you create, we can create dresses, the two of us, but mine will be, it's my point of view and yours will be your point of view. So it can never be really the same. And that's why, like you said, there's a lot of competition. Oh, there's a lot of people out here doing amazing things. If you go to Makina Market, that place is full of people, designers, tailors. Yeah, go to Nairobi Textiles, go to Uhuru Market, go to all the other people everywhere. This whole country, there's so many people doing amazing things, right? So the thing I say is that there are how many millions of people in Kenya? Is it
40?
47 million? Yeah, we are not going to finish. They are clients, they are people. Then let's think about East Africa and the world at large, as in, so for me, what I advise anybody who wants to get into fashion, don't get discouraged that there's so much competition. No, in fact, learn from the people who are already doing what they are doing and see what they are doing. How have they built their brands? What How are they posting what they are posting on Instagram? How do they organize their deliveries? How do they organize their page? Learn and then start. We will never speak the same voice, and there'll be people who will be willing to listen to you. There'll be people who will love your art the way it is. But the thing is, it has to be packaged well. It has to be presented well. When a customer contacts you, the process has got to be smooth, and there has got to be integrity in the business. And that's where now business, fashion business comes in. It's not enough to just be talented and to be, oh yes, I have nice designs. Okay, sawa. People have to buy, and now that everything is online, right? You cannot be a designer and not have an online presence. It just doesn't work. If fashion is a visual, it's a visual art. People need to see what you're doing. So being online and having a good social media presence, being consistent. So there's a lot of things to think through when you're doing a fashion business. And so these are the challenges that people face. You want to start, but you're so overwhelmed. There are so many things. You're the designer, you're the marketer, you're the fundi, you're the one going to buy zips and do, you're the one you're the one doing deliveries. So it's important to, when people start, you think about it clearly, plan it out so that you start small and then grow, because now you need to outsource some things. You cannot do everything. Otherwise, like for example, a fashion designer who decides they're going to stitch everything. Hey, that is the recipe of you will always be inside your, by the machine. You'll always be inside your workshop sitting by the machine because stitching takes time. But now you also needed to go out and look for clients. You also needed to go out and make deliveries. You also needed to go out and buy fabrics. Yours, as in, you cannot divide yourself. So you see, it has to start somewhere and then grow.
I really that's a good point you're giving. And as much as there's a lot of competition, you just have to always keep on innovating. And we're just gonna talk about some of the legal issues. Of you said you can't copyright a design, so we'll talk about some of the legal issues faced. Okay, let's just talk about it now. Like, what are some of the legal issues a fashion designer, someone in your industry, is likely to encounter? Any legal from your experience?
From my experience, I think there are some things that you can copyright. So, for example, if you create a, like a pattern, like how Louis Vuitton, we know how that looks. We know the Chanel, those logos and all that. Those you can actually those are yours. You know, you can register that and say, this is my mine and mine, and it cannot be used by somebody else. So if somebody uses that, you can actually sue them because they've stolen your idea. Those are some of the things that I think can land that can be illegal. But other than that, you see, if like for example, if I create a jacket or if I pick a jacket online and then I change the collar, I can keep everything. Maybe you've done yours with a big puffy sleeve, and then me, I do the same sleeve, but then I do a different collar. If we go to court, we will say, how can you prove this was your idea? How
Yeah.
can we prove I didn't see that puffy sleeve elsewhere?
Yeah.
You
It's
see?
so hard to
So those are
yeah.
it's yeah, it's hard. Yeah. So those are the things. I don't know about any other legal issues that I nothing comes to mind right
Yeah,
now.
aside from maybe the
Yeah.
basic in terms of registering the business, those things like yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I hear you. So you've been talking about like in terms of you're a fashion coach and the fact that you there's but no a coach takes you to where you want to be. So you want to talk about
Yes.
what really inspired you to be this fashion coach and like what are some of the how does someone get to be coached by you? Do you have classes? Do you do online consultations and the likes? So I'm just interested in this coaching, like how important is it for someone to have a fashion coach, and how do you usually do your fashion coaching?
First, I would say yes, it is very important to have a fashion coach or even a mentor if you please. And how I do my fashion coaching is it began with me teaching. So every time I teach a group of people, you know, they get out and then some would come back and ask for internship at my at with me at my brand. And then I realized that it was an opportunity to help them start their own brand. So while they were with me, they would need to create a product, like the idea that they have, because they can use my resources, they can use the people that I outsource to, you know, without too much thinking. They just copy what I'm doing, right? But then in their own style. So that's how that coaching side of me began. And then now, what I'm currently doing, I'm also gonna, once I relaunch and you know I'm up and running, I'll probably start taking interns again as of next year. And then and so now I have online courses. I have two. This the first one is called How to Launch Your Fashion Brand.
Yeah.
And as you said, yes, I do take intakes, cohorts rather. Yeah, I'm actually starting my first cohort on Monday, this coming Monday. That's going to run for a course to run for a week, and then we'll have calls and conversations with that group of people. So that's how it works. Another way it works is if they enroll to come to the college. It's called Zifa for short, because the whole thing is so long. If they enroll in the college, then it's very easy to get in contact with me, and then we can talk about, you know, what they're going through. There's so many aspects of it that you have to think about, starting the brand, sourcing what you need, pricing. There are many, many aspects. So I find that people who I taught even several years ago, they still reach out. I even have a group of on WhatsApp with
Wow.
over 60. 60
Wow.
students, former
Yeah.
students and current students.
Okay.
Yeah, that, you know, whenever I get information, whenever there's so many resources out there, like they came in contact with a talk about sustainability entrepreneurship for some people in New York, and it's free to register. So such things I normally share with them. If there are job opportunities that are posted online, I share with them. Competitions, you know. So I think it's good to be in such a group, because or to have somebody whose ears are on the ground. Because I am, you know, I know many people and I have had contact with several people in the industry, I get to see events happening and opportunities happening. And so then I share it with people who may not get that information as fast as I do. Yeah.
I hear you. Okay, that's a really good way on how to look at it. And one thing that is coming out very clearly is that you are not afraid to lift someone up. I don't know if it's a challenge in the fashion industry, but I know a lot of the time, sometimes someone will be scared to, you'd be scared to train me because I can be better than you. I make clothes better than you. You know, you want to be the only one who is making garments. People come to you, but you're sharing your knowledge with someone else and empowering someone else to do better. So what made you, like, I don't know why, what is that knowledge or that information that you have that is like making you not feel challenged?
I honestly feel like I don't think we can finish the market. Like, yes, I can train you and you become better than me, then yay, I'll be happy that I helped you. You understand? But you know, people are different, of course. I've had people saying, oh, CG fashion designers are stingy, they don't want to share where they get their fabrics. If you want to use the people that I use, it is okay. Here they are, you know, like, I share because I wish I had people to share with me when I was starting out, you know, like the stuff that I know now. Had I had someone like myself when I was, you know, 21, 22 there, I would have been very happy. I would have done very many things. I would have started my brand way earlier. Not that I regret anything. It's just, you know, I picture that young person somewhere telling their parent, oh, I want to be a fashion designer. And then the parent is like, unaenda kukua fundi. You know, there's that ridicule, your madharau, you know, because a long time ago, people who would become fundis were the people who failed in school. So it was regarded like it's a last resort. Like, hey, this one, then they were not able to become a doctor or a teacher, wacha tu akue fundi, you know. Yet, it is a very demanding sort of work. It's not for people who failed. It involves your creativity. You have to think about so many things. So it's a very, it's hard, basically. I think why I help people is because I know it's hard. It was hard for me to get here and to have this voice and to be sure this is what I want. And so in that, I have actually found my purpose. I have found my purpose to be that person, to influence the next generation of designers. But while I'm still here, not after I'm gone and then people are writing, oh yeah, she did this and she did that. While I'm here, I want to see designers doing things. I want to see brands on online and doing wonderful things. And even now as I speak, I do have people that I taught that are doing so well, and it makes me very happy.
Okay, that's a good way to look at it, because now you said your purpose, you found your purpose through teaching, and you just want to influence the next generation of designers. And it actually goes beyond you. So maybe we can just talk about the impact so far. I know you've mentioned a couple of things here and there to hint. So far, so good from your business, and also from, we can talk to them from Kamami Bliss and also from your coaching side. What has the impact been so far? What have you seen?
The impact, well, first I've seen people open up businesses, grow them. Some of my former students include Chris Njoki, who is the owner of Icon. You know Icon?
Wow, okay. Student.
Yeah, she was.
Wow, okay.
And so you see, whether I taught her for a year or taught her for how long, but we interacted, you know, and I've seen her grow. So that's one of the success stories. There are many others that are doing their own brands out here. There's another one called Jamie. His brand is called Sevaria. I can't remember others, but there are so many out here. Even the person that I've partnered with to launch the school was also a student, and she's also doing her own brand. It's called House of Zippy. And you know, there's people doing things out there. And then for me, as Kamami Bliss, one of the nicest things I've ever experienced is I was walking in town and then I saw somebody wearing a dress. Was it a dress? Yeah, a t-shirt dress that I made. And it just made me smile.
Yeah,
So
wow.
that was the first time. Then after that, I've seen a few others wearing something, and I'm just like, this is so cool. They're wearing something that I conceived in my head, and then they don't know. So whether they bought it online or at the shop, that's just amazing. So there's joy, there's like actual joy that comes from seeing such things out in the world.
Oh. Congratulations. I think I need to get one of your outfits. And also just the
Yes.
fact that we have so many students who have grown such of their businesses out of just the coaching and everything else, that's a good thing. So you mentioned so now we want to go through the journey of starting this school. And so you have been a fashion coach for a while. And now you decide to start a school. Could you tell us how you met? Of course, you said she was one of your students. And why did you see the need to start a school?
Okay, so first, after I used to work at a college called McKensville School of Fashion. That's where a lot of the people I taught and trained studied. And then, so after I left that job in 2019, and then in 2020, COVID happened. And that's when I created my online classes. So after that, I got now after I did the online classes, I realized, wait, I can actually keep teaching and create a whole school online, but eventually I would really like to have in-person school, you know, because there's some things you just need to be there to show somebody to cut the fabric, you know, some things like that. Not everything can be done online, especially with fashion. So somehow it's just, you know, God's way of working. When just a few months ago, a former student of mine, this lady, she was ready to launch her school, and then she told me the only person she could think about was myself. So she approached me, and we had a conversation, and we started. And so it's been 3 or 4 months. It's been 3 months. And we have five students so far, and we have another intake in September.
Wow,
Yeah.
okay.
Yeah, so we are calling out anybody out there who wants to learn fashion. We have an intake in September.
Oh,
Yeah.
yeah. I'm actually just
Yes.
on your Instagram as well. And the fact that it's called there, the name of your school is Zifa, and
Yes.
Zifa is short form for the Zipporah Institute of Fashion Arts. Why Zipporah? Who's Zipporah? Why
Yes.
Zipporah, Zifa? The inspiration behind the name?
Yes. So Zipporah is the name of my partnership, that lady that you can see there. So she started it, and then she called it her own name. Then in the Institute of Fashion Arts, it's fashion and all the arts. So we'll be doing classes like hat making, jewelry. All these, we'll have a long course, which is a diploma from TVET, and then we're going to have short courses, like the ones I've said, hat making and all that. And also, we'll partner with other professionals in the industry to do courses like modeling, makeup, things like that. So that's why fashion arts in all the facets of arts, we want to create courses that offer such.
So, congratulations on your school, and also the fact that just in 3 months you already have five students. That's a miracle. It takes a while for a couple of people, so you guys are doing well.
Thank you.
Yeah, so also the fact that you're just keen on nurturing people. So, now let's talk about now the schooling bit and now the industry as a whole, let's say in Africa. What are some of the opportunities around the industry, do you think? What are some of the things, even just as a key player, as a fashion coach, what are some of the opportunities do you see around that people should actually consider fashion? Why should you consider fashion as an industry? Because there are so many things in the creative economy. Why fashion?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, Why fashion is because everybody has to dress. People don't walk around naked. So every person out there is a potential client. And why fashion is that it is a multi-billion dollar industry. There's so much happening out there, right? And you know, the thing is, not when we talk about fashion, we're not necessarily talking about creating clothes. There are stylists. You know, there are people doing well as stylists out here. Someone like Brian Babu, they're doing well. Makeup artists, you know, all this is fashion, right? There are people who print fabrics. There are people who create fabrics. There are people who, fashion is so wide, yeah? Like it's not just the creation of clothing. There are people who are fashion illustrators and they make a living from that. They draw and they love drawing fashion. And hence, like there's a good fashion illustrator called Phoebe Auma. She's on Instagram. She's amazing, you know? So there's so many opportunities in this fashion industry. It's just finding what works for you. So you see, like, and even in education, I mean, look at me. My passion is about teaching and impacting the next generation, and I've managed to find a way to do that. There's somebody else who's out there who wants to do fashion, but they're not necessarily interested to create clothes. That's okay. There are so many ways to look at it. I cover this quite well in my course, the Fashion 101, because we talk about all the different things that are out here in fashion. There's jewelry making, people who make shoes, there are people who make bags, there are even people who just what do you call it, PR. They sell, they create stuff, they show you how to sell stuff, you know. So it's just being open-minded and looking at it as a whole. Like, it's a very big industry. It's not that Fundi story that we're talking about. The Fundi is a very integral part of the fashion industry, but it's not the only thing. There's even people who have fabric shops and they sell fabrics, and those are still in the fashion industry, you see.
Thank you actually for demystifying that. Because a lot of the times when you think of
Yeah.
fashion, you only think of clothes, like you see the clothes. And now you mentioned things like the jewelry. Oh, so guys who are not doing jewelry are also in fashion. So there's a lot to think about. So the industry is really huge. And I also tend to believe this is now where school comes in, because a school opens up your mind to some of these things. You don't know if all of us are just used to your work is you don't have necessarily to be a person who's tailoring. You can do something else in the industry. So I feel like school is really opening up. And now, if we look at
Yes.
it in Kenya, so far so good. What are some of has our industry grown, and what would you wish for the industry, the Kenyan fashion industry? How is the industry now compared to how you started?
I feel like the industry has grown and is growing, simply because there are so many people these days. Like, if you just even look online, if you just Google, or rather search the word "made in Kenya fashion" or such things, you'll find so many brands doing amazing things. And then even if you interact with the product, you'll find that some things are well made, very good quality, right? So I feel like, for me personally, I feel like I see more opportunities now. I see more people doing events. I see, like, Connie Aluoch has this Sunday brunch thing where she showcases designers. I see online shops like Shop Zetu that basically is a great marketplace for fashion designers. There is all these events these days. Although as a fashion designer, also you have to wear, you have to measure. You can't just do all the events just because they said they can do fashion. Some people are not, some things won't work for you. That's a lesson for another day, a whole conversation there. But yes, there are more opportunities now, in my opinion, because any even pop-up events. When I first started, there was a few pop-up events. I even created one for myself. I used to do a pop-up event at a friend's restaurant for a while, and it was working. And then Yeah, so I think yes, it has grown. I would say it has grown and it is growing, and that's exciting because also in the growth there's now the other opportunities that are coming up, like what we said that they are fashion illustrators, fashion photographers, you know, there's fashion models. These days you see models have really are doing well. I see our own models on international catwalks, Kina Ajuma and all these others. Yeah.
It's a good, I think the opportunities are great and people are really coming up. And you mentioned something that you also, there's a level of self-awareness you need to have. Not all events are for you. You also need to understand your niche and just stick to that later. How
Yes,
long
I'll
did
give
it take
you
for
a
you to know
story.
that?
Hey, let me tell you a story about a fashion show that I went to. And first of all, I had this policy that I will not pay to participate in fashion events simply because it won't make economic sense. There are some fashion events that you can evaluate and see, okay, the kind of people coming here are coming to spend as opposed to they are just coming to see pretty girls dressed in nice clothes and say, oh, it's nice. And then they go home. Then the only money they spend is on the food or the alcohol. So I participated in this event once. They asked me to be there. It was, I think they said by 5 because the event was going to start at 7. So me, I've gone with my things. I'm on time. Because I have everything. I have my rack, I have a steamer, I have, you know, everything. So when I arrived, the first red flag, yes. The first red flag was that the models had not, they hadn't done makeup on the models at 5:30 and the show was starting at 7. I was like, what kind of a show is this? Ah, yeah, so anyway, I told myself, let me just prepare my things. I wait. At around 6, no, when we arrived, the models were doing their catwalk. They were practicing. So it was funny. So around 6:30 is when I see the girls running to do their own makeup. There was no makeup artist. And then by that time, people are starting to arrive. They're starting to arrive. It's 7 o'clock. So I ask these people, are we starting this show or not? And where are your guests? Then they tell us, oh, okay, we are going to start in a few minutes. The main fashion designer who is coming from where? From Tanzania, but he's not arrived. He's not arrived. He's not arrived from where? He was staying in a hotel in town and he's
What?
not arrived. But
Okay.
we are in KICC. So I'm like, he's not arrived
Can just
in
walk.
town, but see, we are in town.
Yeah.
I know. I looked around, I was like, these guys, this is going to start probably at 8:30 at 9. I packed my things and left. They
Oh.
were so shocked, but I was like, this is going to be a disaster and I'm not here for it. So imagine I
Yeah.
just packed my things and left. When I left, unfortunately for them, some guests who'd already paid started asking for their money back.
Oh.
So the irony of this story is that when I saw the pictures now the following week on social media, where it looked like ilikuwa show, mzuri, but it's people they were doing, they had very few guests, so they were just taking pictures on one side where the people were, but
Yeah.
I could tell. So sometimes as a designer, you have to be ready to walk away. If in your gut, if your intuition tells you walk away, just walk away. Yeah, and don't waste your time. You see, if I want to put on a fashion show, I can do it. I don't need people to do it for me. You understand? So in such a case, there are some very good organizers, and I've been part of amazing fashion shows. But if you see the organization is faltering from the very beginning, don't deal with such people. They will waste your time, they will waste your money, and it will be annoying and unfortunately, your clothes will be worn and sweated on, and it is you who will go back with sweaty, smelling clothes, and you will not have made the sale. Yeah.
So, like when you go
So,
for these events, do you usually pay for them? No?
some you do, some you don't.
Some you
Some
don't,
you do,
yeah.
you know, for facilitating the models, because you know there's a lot of stuff involved.
Yeah.
You have to pay the makeup artists, you have to pay the models.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they. There are things that there are costs to it. So some you do, some you don't.
But I love the way the fact that you're actually self-aware, because people can really waste your time. And it takes a while for you to know your worth. So now, since this podcast is meant to help people get to their full creative potential, and you are a creative person in the fashion industry, what are some of the creative tips you've learned along the way? Like, how have you learned to be more creative, like getting better ideas for clothes, like even time management? What are some of the tips you've learned as a creative person?
So as a creative person, what I know for me, I had to do was get I have a business partner who is not a creative. So this he helps me to think through ideas in a non-creative way, because the way my mind works is that I'll see something, I'm so excited to do it, but I don't want to think about the other aspects of it
Yeah,
or
very true.
CG. I don't want to I don't want to talk about CG, target market, deep business
That's
model
too much.
canvas. I'm like, oh
Just want to
gosh,
create.
that's boring. I just want to create. I want to go buy fabrics, as in I want to do that stuff. Eh? I want to. But there's other aspects of it, yeah. So I've made it very, it has to work that way. If I don't check in with him every when I'm doing any activities for the business, I check in with him. Then he advises me and tells me, okay, this is what you need to do, blah blah blah, don't do that, you know, things like that. Because if it was up to me, hey, I would do the fun things. I would do all the fun things and not work with that. So it's very important whether you get a business partner or somebody you can bounce off ideas, somebody who has your best interest at heart is very important, because that way you're able to deal with the finances, the accounting, you know, all those things, the business aspect of it, with a sober mind. Yeah. And then also, as a creative, time management is very important. You have to understand how you work as a person. There are people who love waking up early in the morning and it works for them. If that's you, fantastic. If it's not you, don't force. Just work with the way you know you work. If you're a late night person, then make sure you utilize that time. And then you know the way we work. If you're inspired, you're inspired until, as in, paka, you can't even fall asleep. So don't think that, you know, I'll do it tomorrow. The life of an artist, a fashion designer, money doesn't just come evil too. You really have to look for it when you start out, right? When you start out, before you get the rhythm, before you understand your niche, before you understand your target market, all the work, you have to put in the work. The work, I would say that we should not be afraid of work, because you know, sometimes we are the ones who label work as hard. It's not hard, it's what you make it to be, right? So as a fashion designer, you need to know, you see how you keep saying that I am with it, like, or I am enlightened. It's because when I'm on Instagram, I'm not just looking at cute babies and funny things. I'm looking at fashion designers. What's going on in Uko in New York? What's going on in Rwanda Fashion Week? What's happening? Like, if you're on Instagram or Facebook or TikTok, it's not just for entertainment. Take time, yes, and entertain yourself at some point, but learn, keep learning at every chance you get. Yeah, there's so much resources out there. So you have to be on toes. You have to be on your toes. Your ears have to be on the ground. The opportunities happening. There are grants happening out here. There are courses. There are people doing courses for free. Even if they're going to sell you a course after that free one, you will get 1 hour of value, and then they'll start telling you, now you need to buy my other course. But you see, you already learned something. So as a designer, you have to continuously sharpen your skill continuously. Continuously. And if you can't even afford to go to school, there are websites that offer free fashion courses. Did you know that? Did anybody know that? There's a website called Allison. It literally has free courses. It's just that now you have to buy the certificate, but the learning is free. And YouTube, School of YouTube, there's so many resources. So as a fashion designer, you have to be continuously improving yourself and learning from other designers that are doing. There's so many wonderful brands. Icon, Mambo Pambo, Zanta, so many. I can't even, my mind is blanking, but there are so many. Learn, go to, look at what they are doing. Understand, like if you look at, like if I see a Mambo Pambo outfit, I will know that's Mambo Pambo because she is very consistent. If I see an Icon outfit, I will know that's Chris's work because she has a voice, you know, I can recognize her. So these are the things. And then the other thing, time, just take your time, be patient. All these people, if you ask them, they didn't just start blowing up at today. They've stitched things and then casual within a week. Oh, see, everyone is buying. If you ask each of these people, they have a story and a very long story, and it involves sleepless nights, patience, and just having faith. Yeah.
Management and also just the fact of being patient. It's something I think all of us need to learn. And I also love the fact that you say knowing what works for you as a creative. Because to be honest, there are days you have ideas to the end, the other days you have to encourage yourself to wake up and encourage yourself to get the job done. So knowing what works for you and just taking advantage of what is working for you. And then, if it doesn't work for you, just understanding that it's better. That's a good way to look at it. I'd like you to tell us how we can get in touch with you, with Kamami, please, how we can join the school.
Okay, you can get in touch with me on my Instagram. I'm on Instagram as Linda Muthamia. Am I? I don't even remember. Is it Linda Muthamia? Yes. And also as Kamami, please, if you want to contact me, you can DM me there. And I will give you whatever information you want. My courses are also listed there, and everything else that I'm doing. Or you can visit the school on at Greenhouse, fourth floor.
Long gone road, right?
Yes, Ngong Road, Greenhouse, the
Yeah.
Greenhouse.
Okay. So thank you so much for even taking time to do this interview because you've given us an overview of what you do and also just a glimpse into Kamami Bliss. We should even have more lengthy conversations and more detailed conversations about certain aspects of the industry. But this kind of gives us a general view as to how you started your business and as to how you've really grown your business. Maybe just tell us, what is the future like for Kamami, please?
So the future is bright for Kamami Bliss. First of all, I like bright, vibrant colors. Even my logo is red and white. The future looks bright, because I'm creating a new collection, so I'm very excited about that. I will launch it possibly end of October or beginning of November. It just depends on how things go. And beautiful, wonderful things. What we produce is normally clothes that are easy fitting, and they accommodate several silhouettes, right? And several body shapes. So expect bright and beautiful things.
Bright and beautiful things. That's amazing. I'll definitely get something bright and beautiful from Kamami Bliss.
Please do.
So now I want you to just give any piece of advice to someone who's listening. People who are listening is probably a creative, someone who's a fashion designer. What is that thing if you're told to like that piece of advice you'd want to give someone? Doesn't have to be about fashion, but what is that thing you'd want to tell them?
I'd want to tell a creative out there or anybody else listening, that idea that you have, just start now. Don't wait. There will never be a day that everything will be just right. All the ducks, the proverbial ducks, will be arranged in a row. You might find that those ducks, some of them are even chicken. Or they're not necessarily everything that you want them to be, right? So stop waiting. Don't be afraid. Just start, because the lessons that you will learn after a year of doing what you're doing, you will never have learned them if you don't start. So don't be scared. Just start.
We scared just start, and this is just a testimonial from someone who decided to just take a leap of faith, and now she's doing a lot and she's discovered her purpose along the way. So are you confident that you've discovered your purpose?
Yes. This is what I am supposed to do. This is what
so,
I'm
and
here
started
for.
By you just starting.
Yes, I just started because, and something I would like to say is that when I started the brand, I didn't get a loan, I didn't get extra money. It was as it was one of those moments of, I have this money, I'm going to buy fabric and I'm going to find a tailor. And then they stitched, and then I told people, hey, I have this. Would you like to buy? It was that simple. Like, there was no big, and then I learned, I made mistakes, corrected
along the
them.
way.
So along the way, yeah, there was no time, there was no attitude, this grand big thing that happened that sasa lazima nianze.
Million
there was
dollar
no
investment
from heaven. No, it was just, it's either I do this now or I never will, you get. So it was, so just start, stop wasting this. If anything, have we learned anything, is that the world can alter in a few months. I mean, who would have thought that we would have had a disease or a thing that affects the whole world? As in, it's like, it was looking like a movie, and here we are at the end of, on the other side, and we are here. So if anything, life is unpredictable. Just do what you need to do.
Thank you so much, Linda.